Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. It's been several days since our last teaching, and I have a few things to say before we get started. Particularly to our small congregation, I have concerns. I've not seen any responses to some of the current messages. And I'm concerned, and that is what is going to spark this message today. You know, a lot of the news recently is regarding a new pope. And I'm hearing all kinds of things that, you know, questions, how do I become a Catholic now, are up thousands of percents. And this new pope is going to, you know, give the church's world view of the world. And this pope is going to stand for the common good. That is not what a representative of Jesus Christ on this earth called a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, an evangelist. Gifts that God gave to his church, that is, the people that belong to him, that's not what they're to do here on earth. They're here to speak of Jesus, who he was and is and will always be, and how it is, by God's will, we relate to him, and we relate to him by faith. And faith is grabbing hold of God's word, of God's promises, and acting on them as though they're more real than anything that we see. The testimony of a Christian is we live by faith and not by sight. Today's message comes out of the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. He's writing to converted Jews who, because of circumstance, were thinking about turning back to what they had. Ceremonies that they could see, angels that they related to, and not to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 13th verse of the first chapter of Hebrews says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?'" Paul, speaking of angels, he says, "Are they not all ministering spirits, sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" That's talking about us. And the second chapter opens, and there's no chapter and verse in the originals. You know, if you went to Paul and said, "Paul, what did you mean by your statement in 1 Corinthians 2:8, I don't even know what that is, but Paul wouldn't understand, he wouldn't have the context of your question. But, so we can relate, the opening of the second chapter says, having told us, we're heirs of salvation, And because of that, he says, because we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, the word of God, lest at any time we should let them slip. The picture of this phrase, let them slip, gives a picture of snow on the branch of a tree. And as the sun comes out, we see the drip, drip, drip of the snow melting. And all of a sudden, whoosh, that whole clump falls. We can't let this happen. Paul goes on to say, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's talking about the old law given by angels to Moses on Mount Sinai. And they were met with a just reward, recompense of a reward. That's termination pay. In other words, by the law, you get what you earned. And if we were of the law, we have no hope but in Jesus Christ. We are brought the gospel of God, who speaks of his son in the second, third verses of the first chapter, of whom it is said, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he, God, has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the outraying of his glory. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, the express image of his person, the proof coin upholding all things by the word of his power. This is our Lord and Savior. Upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, not by the absolution of a priest in a confessional, not by eliminating some of our sins and instituting good works. God ordained for us good works, that we should walk in them, and that is the works of Jesus Christ. It says if we let him slip, and we go back to the way it was, go back to the law. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, by Jesus, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. That is, the New Testament writers. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles. That word being translated here, miracles, is dunamis, by diverse powers and gifts. Distributions is a better translation, of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. That is God's own will. For unto the angels has he not put into subjection the worlds to come, whereof we speak. The worlds to come. the Christian, the one whom for faith, for the operation of faith, which was a gift of God, the Christian whom God has put his own Holy Spirit in us, has a view that there's more to life than what we see. There is a world to come. An eternal world. Where death is no longer of any effect. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the worlds to come, whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Psalm 8. Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Or probably a better translation is a little inferior than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of his hands. Now, who is this describing? This is describing Adam. This is describing that effort wherein God, Elohim, plural, said, let us make man in our image. And Adam messed it up. And Eve messed it up. And we are the product of our parents, Adam and Eve. We messed it up. But God had a fail-safe plan. And he was whom God described in that second and third verses of the opening chapter of Hebrew. He was Jesus. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of his hands. Thou hast put all things into subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. That's that story in Genesis where Adam and Eve trusted the father of lies, Satan, and lost that which God had prepared for that man, that Adam, whom he purposed to make after his own image. And God's purpose will out. God will do what he said. It's just taken a little longer. God put all things in subjection to Adam, and Adam gave it up. And who got it? Satan, the god of this world, the God who would have us mind all the things of this world. But the testimony, again, as we said before, of the Christian is we live by faith, not by sight. But God has shown from cover to cover of his word, his performance, his faithfulness, his righteousness, which is to say, God keeps covenant. Numbers 23:19. says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent or change his mind. As he has spoken, so shall it be. As his word, so shall he make it good. Now, that wasn't an exact translation. I'm sorry I didn't go back and read it verbatim, but you get the idea. God does what he says. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while. Why? For the suffering of death. We see Jesus. Why was he made for the suffering of death? Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Jesus. He took the sins of the whole world upon himself, that he, that parable in Matthew, where it says, man found a treasure in a field and sold all that he had that he might gain the treasure thereof. That treasure is those who let not the life that God has put in them slip away, that continue operating on the promises of God, for they are more real than all or any circumstance which may contradict God's word, God's promises. It says, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Now that needs a little help. To make the first goer of salvation complete through suffering. Jesus not only came to deliver to us the good news, but became the good news by taking our all. If you can even imagine all our sins, past, present, today, and what's going to come tomorrow, all our sins upon himself. And took them out of the way. Listen. Listen. For both he, King James reads, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Jesus' prayer in John 17. Father, make them one as you and I are one. But the better translation of this 11th verse is, For both he that is sanctifying and they that are being sanctified are all one. It's a continuous process. It's not a, you know, once in a lifetime, come to Jesus moment, come down the aisle, you know, profess your sins, and God will forgive your sins, and, you know, what's the phrase? It's not coming to me now, but it's a famous Baptist. Once saved, always saved. Sorry, folks. Too many people have made that profession of faith in Jesus Christ and have let it slip. I'm trying today to encourage this small congregation and anyone else who might be hearing this message to continue to hold fast. That word, those promises of God, and not let them slip away. For both he that is sanctifying and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which he, that is Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. We don't have time today to go into all the names of God, but they're manifest, and they can and do fit any situation that any man or woman may find themselves in, a situation that is contradictory to God's word and God's promises. There is a name of God that fits your situation. Are you sick? Jehovah Rapha. Are you in need? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Are you in conflict? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Feeling totally inadequate? Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. And the myriad of other names of God that Jesus wants and will declare and has declared his name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, that is, the people that belong to God, will I sing praise unto them. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. These are passages out of Isaiah. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil. The law of the kinsman redeemer demanded that one who had lost his inheritance could only be redeemed by one near of kin. And Jesus stepped from heaven's throne and took upon himself flesh and blood, that he might be kin with us, that requirement for our redemption. Not only that, he did to be kin, but he had to be willing. He had to have the price, that perfect life of Jesus. He had to be willing to pay the price, that scene out of Ruth where the barefoot kinsman was not willing. Though he had the price, he was not willing. And the fourth part of that kinsman redeemer story or law is he had to pay the price. He tasted death for every man. that he might destroy. That word means to make of no effect, to make void, to have no power. Jesus destroyed it. He came out of that tomb with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, he removed that law. He was the law. And that handwriting of ordinances that was against us, the Colossian letter says, Jesus took it out of the way. For verily, he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took epilembano, that is, to reach down, to grab hold of, with the intent to help. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. Why Abraham's seed and not Adam's seed? Well, Galatians 3:29 says, if ye be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That symbol of the priest is that intermediary between God and man, not that priest represented by the Catholic Church. Sorry, they're not the intermediary. Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in just a moment. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. This word, reconciliation, here in the Greek is hilaskmos. And a sister to it is a word called hilasterion, translated mercy seat. That place where God met the high priest on the Day of Atonement. And if the sacrifice were acceptable, God would appear in the Shekinah on the mercy seat. Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set before his face to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. The word is translated here, propitiation, is hilasterion. Jesus, the accepted price paid for our redemption. Jesus, the place in which God meets his children. Jesus. Made reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted. We may continue this in the next message. Being tempted, he is able to succor or secure them that are tempted. What's this message designed to do? Don't let the word. Don't let the Spirit of God slip away. Don't stop communicating with the messenger. He's part of God's plan for you. I do. Praise God for his word, for his encouragement through his word, for his grace, his unmerited favor, and for his peace. That word is Irene, for setting us together again. And that's the God School for today.